Well, good evening. Welcome to the regular meeting of the City of Morro Bay Recreation and Parks Commission. Today is Wednesday, June 3rd, 2015. We have a quorum here. All are present except for Karen Crawley. So we'll call the meeting to order and I'd like to observe a moment of silence, please. Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Do we have any announcements or presentations? First up on the agenda. None from the commissioners?
Morro Bay Bands on the Run last Saturday was a huge success. I'd like to thank the city and staff for their help with it. We were able to raise just under $10,000 for the Morro Bay High School Music Program.
Any others? No? Well, I highly recommend that everyone that's interested go to the Morro Bay website and see all the stuff that's going on because it's summer, so there's going to be a lot going on. So now we're going to roll into the public comment period. The speakers have 3 minutes. If you'd come to the microphone and state your name before you start, please. Do we have any public comments?
Good evening.
Is your microphone on and can you get real close to it?
Test.
No, see if there's a button on there.
On this mic?
Yeah. Try again.
No button on this mic. Test. There we go.
There you go.
There we go. Good evening. My name is Ron Reisner. I'm here this evening as a member of the Morro Bay Community Foundation Board of Directors. The foundation understands and appreciates that the city of Morro Bay's goal of 100% cost recovery for services and operations. The commission's agenda this evening contains reference to citizens' use of Morro Bay facilities and parks, as well as to recreation department services. The agenda also makes reference to the appropriate level of subsidy for recreation and park services provided by the city. As the commission considers fee schedules for recreation and parks activities and facilities, we encourage the commission to look at the question from the 10,000 foot level. Who owns the facilities operated by the city? The citizens. Who should benefit from the use of community facilities and services? The citizens. And the broadest possible mix of citizens, irrespective of race, creed, or economic capability. To begin the dialogue around the use of community facilities and services with the embedded concept of subsidy is to not address the larger imperative of community benefit. For instance, if fees for city-sponsored youth recreational activities are raised in an effort to achieve 100% cost recovery, it is probable that the most economically vulnerable of our citizens will be the most impacted. In terms of community benefit, it is the children of those citizens who are most in need of the benefits derived from organized recreation and sports activities. The Morro Bay Community Foundation, which serves these children, encourages the commission to begin its deliberation concerning use of community facilities and services by clearly recognizing the most vulnerable users of those facilities and services and the program benefits which have been and can be accorded them. Only after such consideration should the issue of fees logically follow? Thanks.
Thank you. Are there more public comments?
Good evening. My name is Jeff Eccles. I'm a resident of Morro Bay and a business owner here. And I have kids in the athletic programs, the rec programs that are put on through the city of Morro Bay's rec department. And I'm also the current president of the Morro Bay Community Foundation. So the Community Foundation exists to help children pay for their activity fees that otherwise wouldn't be able to. So as you guys are well aware, all of us are well aware that those fees can be rather steep. I want to speak specifically to item number D6, and I won't be able to be here then because I've got to go feed my kids dinner, but that's the one that I'm speaking to, your agenda item number D6, which you will be looking at fee subsidies tonight. And I appreciate the good efforts of our city manager and city administration on looking at the importance of sound fiscal policy. With this particular item, because it deals with the children and the rec programs, and that's what the foundation does as well, I thought it important that I come down here and speak with you. Might also mention that I've coached for the last 3 years, and so I've seen firsthand the benefits of our programs for our children in the community. Let me first start off with just a few general comments about our recreation program. A robust recreation program contributes to a healthy sense of community and potentially lower crime rates in our community. In addition, there are many non-revenue benefits, such as building engaged, better citizens of tomorrow by involving our youth in esteem-building activities today. Families are connected when their children participate in recreation programs, fostering a deeper sense of community, belonging, and connectedness to the city. Such benefits are not measured in dollars and cents, yet truly enhance quality of life in our fair city. Such benefits relate to the very essence and purpose of our city's being. So as you meet tonight and deliberate this issue, and as our council will deliberate this upon your recommendations, I would remind you of the actual mission statement of the city of Morro Bay. The city of Morro Bay is dedicated to the preservation and enhancement of the quality of life. There are few things in our community that speak so directly to the mission, the very mission of our city, as our recreation programs. Also, the council went through quite a process earlier in the year to come up with some priorities, a list of 10 of them. Number 8 on there was enhanced quality of life, and one of the sub-bullets underneath that was recreation program improvements. So the council has already recognized the significance and importance of those programs. I'll leave you with the thought that looking at cost recovery versus subsidy, with these programs gives us only two choices, and it puts the context of the argument in terms of cost recovery versus subsidy. With these particular programs, again, looking at a higher view, I think we can go above that and look at these as actual vital services that create our community and serve the children in our community with financial and non-financial benefits that will continue to carry on for years forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Do we have any more public comment? No? Then public comment is closed. Consent calendar. We should pull A1 for. Can I get a motion to pull A1 for. Approve A1? File it.
A1 or D1?
A1. A few minutes from it'd be A1 and A2. A1 through A5. I believe.
I move that we accept and file A1 through A5.
Do I have a second on that?
I'll second.
Second it? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, all in favor? Thank you. From here, we look at unfinished business, which we have none. We did the public hearings, new business. May I get a motion to accept and file D1? The evaluation of the soccer from 2014.
Mr. Chairman?
Excuse me,
sir? Give me a brief staff report on D1, if you'd like.
Brief staff report? Okay, thank you. Maybe see you there then. Thank you.
Good evening. I am here to present the staff reports for the 2014 Estero Bay Youth Soccer League, the All-Star program from 2014, as well as the 2015 Los Osos Middle School Boys Volleyball and Los Osos Middle School Track and Field. I'm going to start out with the soccer league from last year. Have a few highlights that we want to cover on this so that there's some history and some understanding where our soccer program is and why we have some of our things set up the way they are. Last year, we had 229 boys and girls participating in the RU Soccer League, which was held from August 18th through November 14th. Our U6 and U8 divisions all play their games here in Morro Bay. Our U10s, U12s play with Los Osos League, the Cambria League, and the Templeton League. And our older kids also play with the Paso League and Atascadero Leagues. Last year, our registration starts in May. Last year started May 19th and closed on July 25th, I believe. Between August 1st and September 6th, we registered an additional 74 children in the league. So 32% of our registered after our deadline. The reason why I bring that up is because we had some concern with some parents that not all the children were able to play. We registered an additional 74 children during that time. And the reason we stopped registration so early, even though we don't start till August, is because mainly is number one is uniforms. If we do not order our uniforms by the first week in August, they will not be here by the first week of games. Because every league in the United States practically starts that same time. We also have to schedule with all these other leagues, and trying to get everyone on the same schedule, we do that in early August so that by the time we get to our first games, everyone has their staffing and their facilities and everything in place. And then the other reason is we do have to register with CalSouth, and we have deadlines with them that also incur penalties if we don't do so by a certain date. So we do stop our registration early, and as you saw from last year, we do allow late registration and try to get as many children involved as we can. But this year, we will be having to incur a late fee to help cover some of those costs. And we've been trying to instruct our families ahead of time that will be happening to help cover those additional costs. Because every time you order an extra uniform, there's a specific number fee, and there's additional fees for those that come in place.
Does the 229 number reflect those 74?
Yes, those 74 are included in there. One of the other large expenses, so in addition to having the uniform expenses, because we had the extra late registrations, we also had to order extra soccer balls last year, and again, trying to get those on a short notice do incur additional costs. We also had our sports coordinator, who is usually at all our games, had surgery during the season, and so he was unable to be there, so I was out at some of the games, so we had some additional cost as a result. We did have 32 coaches who put in a minimum of 30 hours during the season to help support our kids. And without their help, we could not do the programs that we do. Let's see. Our bottom line was our cost recovery was 81% with our support costs and staff costs without including our revenue from the volunteer coaches. We include that so we show what our costs would be if we had to hire coaches. And if we include that gain from having those volunteer coaches, which was over $22,000, our cost recovery would be 154%. But our cost recovery was 81% with that program. One of the other big recommendations that we have for this next year is that because our grass is, watering of the grass is decreased a little bit because of the water restrictions, we will be using a different color field paint instead of the white because you can't see it on the light-colored grass. So that might endure a little extra cost. We did look at a cost savings with the school district. We were, with our latest joint use agreement, able to negotiate a rate where we just pay the facility processing fee, and we do not get charged the hourly rate for using Morrow Elementary soccer field. And we're also going to be working on educating our coaches a little bit more, and hopefully we'll be involving the Positive Coaching Alliance that I know that South Bay Soccer is also going to be including this next year as well. Does anyone have any questions on soccer? No? Okay. And then I also included our staff report for the All-Star program. And the main thing I wanted to point out on our All-Star program, All-Stars is an additional program, and because it's not because it is an additional program and it eliminates some participants because there is a tryout for it, the participants bear the cost of that program. So any uniforms, tournaments, etc., they're responsible for coming up for that with that money to cover it. We do have an open tryout. We do help them facilitate by having a barbecue because we want to make sure whatever fundraising activities they participate in will follow in guidelines so that we're not doing anything what we shouldn't be doing. And the cost recovery on this should be 100%, and it was as well. We did have four coaches with 32 hours of time that they volunteered during that time. I did want to point out, though, that we did have, what we did for All-Stars is we put out a notice to all the coaches encouraging them to, if they wanted to be the coach for the All-Star team, to let us know, and we set up tryout dates. And we only had interest for the U-12 boys and the U-4, or U-10 boys and the U-14 boys. A week before the tournament, was on the website looking at the tournament participants and saw that one of our other coaches had submitted a team for that event. And unfortunately, we did not able to follow all of our guidelines and all give the parents all the instructions about what All-Stars mean and things like that, and that group had not a positive experience. We did help facilitate getting their paperwork done so they could participate in the tournament, but one of those big things that lessons we take away from that is we have our rules, we need to follow our rules, and we need to make sure this next year that all the kids have a positive experience from All-Stars. Okay. The other two programs that we have are our middle school programs. We had our middle school track and field program. This year we had 38 participants. We had a volunteer coach, Ralph Wright, who has coached our cross-country team and our track teams the last 2 years, as well as Karen Smith, who is a five-time Olympic javelin thrower, is teaching our kids throwing, discus and shot put. And we also were assisted by Cuesta College's coaching class students to teach the kids hurdling and jumping events. And we are looking forward to working with them, hopefully get in touch with them a little earlier to help us at the very beginning of the season. One of the big things with the middle school programs is the school provides us the facilities for free, and we provide the oversight for that. We will be also looking for this next year to find a head coach to help organize the kids a little bit better and help a little bit more with the practices so that the running coaches can focus on the running and the throwing coaches can throw on the throwing and have someone else be out there and not have our coordinator need to be there as much as she was this past year to help save us a little bit on our costs. The kids did participate in three meets, and like I said, we had 38 participants, and hopefully we'll have more next year. And they did meet their cost recovery of 100%. And the last one is the middle school boys volleyball. program at the middle school. We had 29 boys, and what we did with volleyball this year is that all the participants were placed onto teams. We had four like intramural teams because there were not as many middle schools having middle school volleyball teams for boys this year. So we had four intramural teams. They played every Friday, and then from those four teams, the coaches chose groups of kids to play the three schools that they played during the season. So every child got a chance to play for their school against another school. They also played in a middle school tournament as well and did well. So we had 29 boys. They met from February 4th to April 1st. We did have a cost that we split with the girls for a net, so that we purchased a new net for the programs. We also incur staff and referee costs because part of our deal with the school, with us doing the program, is that we provided the oversight during the games. And our program did meet its cost recovery with our registration fees and as well. And so we will continue to offer this program. We have 6th through 8th graders playing, and it was a good season. Any questions or comments?
All three of these programs, in addition to the value of recreation and physical activity, it certainly is reflected as they go on to the high school with the results that we've seen the last couple of years. So good job.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for that report. I guess we should get a motion to accept and file D1 then. And then go on.
I move that we accept and file D1.
Do I second it? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? None. Thank you. Okay, so move on to D2. Discussion of pickleball.
Great. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Again, Dave Buckingham, City Manager. Thanks for you all being here, and I'm very happy to be here to participate in my first Rec Commission meeting. So as you've read the report, and I'm about to turn over to Catherine Thomas here, but there's a vibrant, growing group of pickleballers here in Morro Bay. Seems to be a sport generally for seniors that is increasing in popularity. So not only is it a service to members of our community, but this is also a potential. There's opportunity down the road for Morro Bay to be a regional or even national pickleball destination, running tournaments and that sort of thing. So Catherine Thomas is the official ambassador from the U.S. Pickleballers Association. We've asked her to come. A couple of new commissioners to sort of brief you all up a little bit more on what's been going on in the last few months since she's been here most recently. Catherine.
Hi, I'm Catherine Thomas. I'm the USAPA ambassador from Morro Bay. This is my husband, Robert, who teaches the beginners and gets them acclimated to the rules of pickleball. I have some handouts. I actually want to bring you up to date. I was here a couple of months ago with statistics. I have more recent ones through last month that I would like to share.
Is this different than what we have in our packets?
It's more up to date.
Okay.
So I'm just giving it to you to show that the most recent figures, if you notice down at the bottom, we've had 1,898 players come through. 9 different states have been represented and 2 countries. On the second page, it says that our age range is 6 to 92. However, we did have a 3-year-old out last week, and he came out 3 times. So he's very interested, but he's a little short. But he really likes it. We're encouraging him. We went from 2 courts in October, November, December. Then we moved up to 3 courts. We moved up to 5 courts. We continue. If you look at the average per day, we were getting up to 25 average per day with 3 courts. With 5 courts, we went to 21, 23, 5 days. Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, 5 days, 3 courts. And as of, a week ago, we now have 6 courts. and we've only played on them 2 days. So we filled those courts the last couple of days. We expect that to kind of drop off and go up and down as summer comes and goes, and we get the players from over the hill coming in. We've had 5 clinics. We expect to have on August 19th an all-day pickleball event at Del Mar Park, which will include 4 national champions giving clinics and demos, and that will be advertised to the county so anyone can come and see pickleball. We've worked with Del Mar Elementary School, and we're trying to set up a program with them, but there's a lot of logistics involved and rules and laws that we've got to get taken care of in terms of insurance and things like that. But we are interested, and they are very interested in getting us set up with them. I think that's that for that. About a month ago, actually in April, I submitted a LEAP proposal. I don't know if you've seen that. I do have copies of it. If you would like a copy, you're welcome to it. It gives statistics both nationally, California, and then Slo County and Morro Bay. And I don't. Do you have this, or do you want copies of it?
You have it in your packet.
Yeah, I believe I have it.
Okay,
thank you.
Good. All right.
Yeah.
So that's very important, because it not only tells you what's going on right now, it helps to clarify what our vision is if you decide that that's the vision you want. And my husband's going to talk a little bit about the vision. Okay.
Good evening. My name is Robert Thomas. I'm local Morro Bay. Pickleball presents two different issues, if you wish. One is tourism. Do we want to make Morro Bay a destination with nice courts where people can come and play? It has the potential to become very big. Would you rather play in Paso when it's 103 or come over the mountain, a 10-minute drive or 20-minute drive, and play here where it's 60 to 70 degrees? One of the programs that we're going to push through the Tourism Bureau is came to play pickleball state for lunch. And I think that is a program that will bring a lot of business Monday through Thursday or Friday when we're playing. But that's a tourism issue. On the other issue is the rec issue. There are lots of programs that people want to talk about for the youth, and I want to talk about one. But we also have to remember that 50% of the population of Morro Bay is seniors. There are not a lot of programs for seniors. This is a program that almost any senior can play, despite the fact that they've blown out their shoulder playing tennis back 20 years ago, or they're afraid to ride bicycles anymore because they're afraid they're going to get hit by a car, or all the other programs. We have, seriously, 75 and 80-year-olds out every day playing, and they're enjoying it, and it's great exercise. I don't think you can find a lot of other things that 50% of the population of Morro Bay has a chance to participate in. Quality of life includes for seniors. Mm-hmm. This doesn't cost them a dime, and there are many seniors in this town who don't have a lot of extra money. We don't charge. We supply the equipment. The equipment has been bought through the Senior Citizens Incorporated. Kathy and I are volunteers through the Senior Citizens Incorporated. The other people who open up and set up nets and everything are volunteers. We're trying to make this something that seniors can do all the time. Unfortunately, we're not available on weekends, because the agreement we have with recreation as it presently sits is we're there for 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday. But the rest of the time, basically, it's first come, first serve for roller hockey. Not that I've ever seen anybody out roller hockeying, but it's available. We would like to make it available on weekends. There are 50% of the population that can't be here when we're there, except for in the summer they'll have a chance, but other than that. The youth program. We've talked to the principal of the elementary school, very interested in doing demos. Fourth grade we were going to start with, because they would be back for fifth grade next year. We wanted to do after-school program, but who is responsible? Is it senior citizens? We're going to teach it. We will take and run the program. I have XPE teachers who are more than willing to do it. But Is it a youth program through the parks and recreation? Is it a program through the school system? Those have to be worked out. That is something that I can't make those decisions. I can simply say that we're there and we want to take and teach the kids to play it. It's a great sport for kids. I know a couple kids' greatest ambition is to be able to beat their grandmother. And they're really working hard to be able to do that. But it's a youth program. So from the recreation and parks, there's two things you have to say. One is, can we make dedicated courts? Tennis players don't have to go set up their nets to go play tennis. They don't have to have set times to play. You could make a dozen pickleball courts in the area of three tennis courts. That's how small they are. So it isn't preposterous to say, okay, we're going to put in a half a dozen pickleball courts.
Okay.
It's one and a half tennis courts. These are the sorts of decisions that aren't our decision. We're here to support. We're here to play. But that's the recreation department's business, in a sense.
Okay. If I may just say something, I think we're on board with this. I think where we're at was, there's been a little bit of change in management. We had asked staff to try to see what the options were to build a facility. So I think that's where we're at. We need to ask staff to see what the options are to build something other than to take up tennis courts. I know it says on here that I said I didn't want tennis courts to be restriped, but that doesn't mean I'm against pickleball. I think we're all for pickleball. It's shown that there's quite a bit of participation, and we just need to figure out how we're going to pay for it and where we're going to put it. I just want to say that a lot of people have just told me, as long as we don't pave over grass to do it, and I think there are a few spots that are available where we keep the green and go ahead and put in some pickleball courts. And I think that is our intention, is to recommend that to staff and have them come back to us with some options. Because we're all for it.
Look at the LEAP report. We've listed five or six different locations that are viable.
Yeah, that we've checked out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the staff has to do their due diligence to see how it fits in with everything else that they do.
Do you have any questions for us?
On the coast here, the Cambria Group has gone out and raised money to build courts there. I'm not quite sure if you're asking the city to build courts or exactly what.
Yeah, we're asking the city to build courts. We're asking the city to make the investment. If you build the right kind of courts, we will have tournaments, and those tournaments will pay for those courts. And that data is also in here. If you don't want to build courts, then we won't have tournaments, and you won't pay for those courts.
Well, if I'm just correct, it's not that we don't want to build them. It's just we have to see if it's economically feasible.
Correct.
So
we're not saying we're going to go out and raise the money. I mean, we would certainly help in every way we could. Cambria had a totally different thing, and they did have $100,000 donated to them, and that's what got them actually moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
They also have land available to them. So that's a little different than what we've got. If somebody wants to give us the money, we'll start.
Well, they went out and solicited that money. The group took the energy and to go out and do it.
3 years.
Yeah, so we're recommending to staff to see what's feasible, and then we'll come back with you with options. If we can't afford to do it, maybe we can get in with partners. We can look for grants. We can help. Your committee can help with that. You guys can. You do a wonderful job, too.
And believe me, we are soliciting.
We would like to move forward with this. It seems like there's tons of people playing it, and
yeah.
We want people to be out there doing it.
I want a little bit of questions. Basically, have you done some research on what the basic cost would be to build a court in certain areas? And also, you mentioned the tournaments would repay it. How many years, how many would you have to repay that to make break even from that point on to make any money?
Yeah, if you look in the report, it is in there. We did give you the statistics on that and the data. Essentially, depending on the number of courts, depends on the number of people you can have to play the court and the number of days you have a tournament in. You can make a couple $100,000 in one tournament, depending on the number of courts. So you have a dozen courts, you've got a very good opportunity to make a lot of money on that tournament. Okay. But again, that's in there. So I would say the courts are running, $10,000 to
Basically, it's $10 a square foot, yeah. So it's
$200,000 for 12 courts.
Yeah. Basically, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, and so on those 12 courts, on a tournament, you can make how much?
You can make a couple hundred thousand dollars.
On 12 courts?
With 12 courts and the number of players that you have, depending on the length of time. There's all. If you go for a week-long tournament, for example, or a four-day tournament, you've got the potential to bring in 200, 300, 400 players, depending on how it's all lined up. They go by age categories, they go by men's, women's mix, they go by singles, doubles, there's all kinds of categories. It's advertised nationally through the USAPA. And people will come.
And they pay a fee.
They pay a fee, yeah.
And that's where you make your money, just the fee.
Make your money through the fees and then things that they buy while they're there, if they want to buy anything. But
no,
yeah, mostly it's
you
through
can't
the fees.
Guarantee that, so we can guarantee the fees though.
The fees, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions?
Only last comment. Why don't you gentlemen come out and play?
Yeah, come and see us. Come some Monday.
You've all played softball. You've all played basketball. You've all played all these other sports that you know about. I really would encourage you to come out and play a day.
Okay, thank you very much for the invitation.
Let me, I volunteer. I will be there.
Good. Good. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Mr. Commissioner, yes, I could make a comment or
yes,
two. So just a couple things on pickleball. One is that so there's a number of locations identified in the LEAP proposal that the that Thomas has provided. One location that that has some merit would be the old elementary school, and so I'll we'll work with the school district and see if there's potential there. Hate to pave over grass.
Correct.
We need those fields for other things also. But we haven't gone out and sort of taken a look and said what can be, what can fit. So that's a location that's also close to the city center, walking distance from hotels and restaurants and those things. So and one other thing that to keep in mind is that there's always friction between various sports. and so for example, one of the things we're going to have to wrestle through is right now pickleball has access to the courts in the park, is able to reserve those because of their associationship with the senior center for no cost, which means that, and we've just done a good thing, I think, restriped the basketball court to play pickleball on that. But now if that gets reserved for pickleball at no cost, then it's not open for open-use basketball. So one of the things we're going to have to work through is how do we manage that? Are there designated hours for certain sports only, or is there a reservation requirement? So that's just a couple of things. There's some good friction there when there's too many people wanting to use one space. That's not necessarily a bad thing. We just got to figure out how to manage it.
Correct. Thank you very much. Yes.
And I think the use at Del Mar Park, that from somebody who uses that park often, those courts are used heavily on the weekends by just drop-in use. A comment was made, no roller hockey. I have seen roller hockey there. They also are playing soccer on that, and a large number of participants of all ages. So we need to keep that into consideration, the overall use of those facilities.
Correct.
Also, I have a comment. I think you mentioned they get it free. We need, I'm not sure the agreement they have with the seniors to make it free, but then if, say, I want to have my basketball team come out there and reserve it, I have to pay a fee. It just doesn't sit good with me.
I don't disagree, and we're going to talk about that in D4 or 5 or something.
Okay. All right. So, We'll move on to D3. I think so. Looking for a location for the Historical Society time capsule.
So I'll kick this one off very quickly. I'm going to ask Glenn Silloway to come up from the Morro Bay Historical Society. You've read the report. In fact, I'll just turn it right over to Glenn, and they are looking for a recommendation from you on which park to use for burying the time capsule. Glenn?
Hi, I am Glenn Silloway. I'm a resident of Morro Bay, and I'm a member of the board of the Historical Society of Morro Bay. The time capsule idea is actually the last event, or one of the last events, of our celebration of our 50th anniversary, and that committee has provided some funding for this. The time capsule would be buried for the next 50 years. There's some symmetry there, and we think it's an important event and a time for us to stop and mark where we've been and where we're going. What we plan to do is take a time capsule. We have asked people to supply their memories, interviews, artifacts that we can digitize, and we're going to put all of that into a time capsule that we'll bury at a ceremony on July 17th, which is Founders Day. We don't have all the details on that event worked out, but we would like you to note it and to give us your approval to use City Park for that. We had considered Tidelands, but that's a July 4th event that we would have wanted to participate in, and we're time crunched. So we're moving back to July 17th. It's a symbolic day for us and a good day for us to mark passage of time. The key things that we need from the city are, first, your approval to hold that event and to put the capsule on the ground. And secondly, we need some help to create a hole. We're recommending a site very near to just east of the flagpole that's in your document there. And then some help from the city to seal that with a small concrete pad to which we would affix a plaque, which is now we're going to be ordering and having made. So that's the outlines of what we need from you, some little help from the city to do this, and we will publicize the event and get people there if you'll approve us having it.
So, okay. Well, so if I can just add on to that, what we really need from this commission is the location. We'll take care of burying stuff and concrete and all that. You don't need to worry about that, but just to get this commission's recommendation, really concurrence, that City Park is an appropriate place to bury the time capsule.
Yeah, I believe it is pretty good.
Do you have a preference as a group as where you would like it?
They want it at City Park.
Yeah, in City Park, in a place just to the east of the flagpole is. I don't have a little map with an X on it to tell you exactly where, but right in that location.
Yeah. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
I'll oppose none.
That's
City Park. That'd be a great place for it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all your effort in preserving the history of Morro Bay. It's a great place. Of course, we're not going to be here in 2164 to open it, but. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Recreation services within the city organization. D4.
Okay, I'll start this one off if I could.
Okay,
three or four agenda items here for you of varying degrees of input requested. Really, I've got two questions for your input on this item, and that that question is, or those questions are, what should we call the rec department or group, and second, where should it be organized in the city? So I'm just giving you, those are the two things that I'm looking for a recommendation on, but to sort of walk you through it. So I've implemented, as you're aware, several organizational changes over the past 4 months that affect the Rec and Parks Department. One of those organizational changes was moving the maintenance division, which had responsibility for maintenance for everything in the city, not just parks. So they did maintenance on this building. They did maintenance. They filled potholes on the streets. I determined that they were more appropriately organized in the Public Works Department instead of the Recreation Department, and so moved maintenance from Recreation into Public Works. And then secondly, as you're aware, the former Recreation Director is no longer employed by the city. So those are two significant organizational changes that really warrant bringing this to you and getting your input. The recent Management Partners Organizational Study of our city, which the City Council commissioned back in January and was just given to us last week, actually, is an organizational study that compares our organization, our services, that looks at best practices and how we should or could be doing things differently to be more effective, provide better services more efficiently. One of the things they do is they benchmark us against other cities, other similar cities. So they benchmarked us against Pismo, Atascadero, Scotts Valley, and several other cities to sort of do a comparison. What they found of the five cities that they compared, only two had a standalone recreation department. So sort of the point there is that the trend over the years has for, in many areas, for recreation not to be a standalone department, but to have it be organized somewhere else, under another existing department. It's all over the map where it's organized other places. So in Capitola, Capitola has a recreation department. In Atascadero, recreation has been organized under the police department, and the two recreation services supervisors have been reporting to the police chief. In Pismo, it's organized under the community development department, and in Scotts Valley, it's organized under the public works department. So that's just sort of for assessment. That's really background, I guess. For discussion, so I've determined that we will not replace the recreation director. So that position won't be replaced, which means that these fine ladies and Celeste need somebody to give them assistance, oversight, and access into City Hall. I've been doing that very averagely for about 5 weeks, but that's a course of action would be for me to keep doing that. Thus, it's probably appropriate that the Recreation Department is no longer called the Recreation Department. The level of organization in the cities below a department is a division. We have the maintenance division, we have the water division, we have the sewer division. So that might be an appropriate designation. Atascadero recently hired a deputy city manager, and funny enough, so did Morro Bay. And one of the things that Atascadero has done is that deputy city manager now supervises their recreation services instead of the police chief. So more background is that in Atascadero, as I just said, recreation has reported to the police chief over the last 5 or 7 years. Now recreation reports to the deputy city manager. So really two questions. One is considering the scope of recreation services. What should that organization be called? Should it be called the Recreation Services Division, the Recreation Division, or something else? But since it's not going to have a department head, maybe Recreation Department is not the best title. And then second, considering our organizational structure and comparing us to peer cities, recreation services could be assigned under community development like it is in Pismo, could be assigned to the police chief as it was in Atascadero, or it could be assigned to our new deputy city manager, who's here not necessarily to spike your decision, but probably a leading candidate in my mind would be for the deputy city manager to have responsibility for oversight of recreation. And funny enough, Mr. Taylor has had responsibility for parks in the city that he just left in Washington State, Ferndale. So he's got some experience in that area. So I'd appreciate your input on both of those questions. Do you see knowing Morro Bay, do you see a qualitative benefit to assigning recreation under the police, under community development, or under the deputy city manager? And then secondly, is there a naming the department a division, recreation services division, since there's more things than sort of sports going on there. There's all sorts of recreation services, including the function of renting facilities remains in recreation. So it's sort of that service piece. That's sort of where I was going, but I'll turn it over to you for any discussion that you want to have, and we'll listen and consider that and make a decision.
Okay. Well, why would you not put it under the deputy as opposed to the police department in this community? I mean, you've got somebody who's starting off new. Why not start off new with a new division or whatever we're going to want to call it? In my experience and my observations, I don't think in this community it belongs with the police department. They've got enough to do, as well as our chief.
I hope they're not. They don't have too much to do.
I also think it fits with the deputy because, first of all, it's still within the city premise to run the recreation department. We need someone who has more direct contact with council and with the city services that we're connected with. The police department and other departments of those types are obviously very viable to the city, but they aren't directly connected to the city services that we now provide.
And what I've read and heard, the deputy city manager's some of his responsibility is community development or economic development. And why not use our wonderful recreation facilities such as pickleball to forward those ideas?
Okay. So how many in favor of the deputy city manager? We can.
I just have a couple questions. One thing, not to put you down or anything, but I'd like to know exactly what are your qualifications. I know you went to Ferndale, but Ferndale is not that big a city, right? My wife was from Washington, and it was. But I want to make sure, because to be in charge of a department, you must know something about the department and understand the function and the workings of the department as far as getting out in the neighborhoods and communicating, talking, which I know you have an expertise in promotional end of things. So I was just wondering, as far as actually recreational background, could you kind of run that briefly so we know exactly
sure.
what we're doing?
Thank you so much, Mr. Swain. So my background is for the last 4 years, I was both the city clerk and then the assistant city administrator for the city of Ferndale, Washington. It's almost 13,000 people, so a little bit bigger than Morro Bay. Very similar size budget. It just so happens that in Ferndale, the maintenance of parks happened to be under the Public Works Department, and that was something that happened about a decade ago. And then the recreation aspect of it really was a public-private partnership process, and so I was overseeing those partnerships with various groups. My department handled all facility rentals within the parks, and then we coordinated both city events and then private events within those parks, and then really worked heavily to kind of partner with local groups such as the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, to provide various recreation, as well as some other nonprofit groups. Along with that, I was also the director of Human Resources. I was the risk management director for the city. I managed the website, communications, did the city council meetings, and so I wore a lot of hats, and so I'm very much used to doing that. So my position here in Morro Bay as the deputy city manager currently is I manage the city's IT division. I do economic development, all the communications and the website. And I suppose one other piece could be potentially recreation again, kind of the way I was doing it in Ferndale.
Okay, thank you.
Sounds as though you've got very, very good qualifications in terms of being well-rounded, interfacing with many organizations within the city. I personally feel you've been an excellent candidate for that position to head up the recreation division, and you certainly have my support.
Okay, we'll take the vote on that. All in favor with city manager heading this up for now.
Aye.
Deputy city manager. Aye. All in favor. No opposed. And for the name, Parks and Rec Services sounds good. Anybody have anything better? Parks and Recreation Services.
No recreation.
What?
No division.
Oh, it's thinking of a division.
It's services. It's a little. It doesn't have to be a division, right? Services. Does that make sense to anybody? Parks and Recreation Services.
So one
is that? Pardon me.
Actually, I didn't think about it in this action item. It comes up in the next one.
Oh, sorry.
Well, no. In the question of whether to continue to call it parks, and I'm going to ask you in a minute if you should be the Rec and Parks Commission or just the Recreation Commission, and to get your discussion on that. Same thing for this, and it does not have to be that the commission name and the division name are the same, but the responsibility that recreation has, I'm sort of saying it already, has for parks is actually quite limited. Almost much of what they do are in our parks, but much of what they do is also in the community center and other buildings. And so I'm not sure that I'm going to refer to this group as the Recreation and Parks Services Division or Recreation and Parks, but just as recreation, because that's their primary task. And frankly, I want to keep them focused like a laser on providing exceptional recreation opportunities here in Morro Bay. So,
but the facilities, I mean, we're going to be talking about next, is a big part of that, because the recreation facilities for our programs are one thing, but recreation facilities for an outside group, are you saying we're not going to be part of this division? Or
so the Public Works is responsible for the maintenance of all of our facilities, whether it is a building, a street, or a park, and everything in it. Everything in that park. So the maintenance of, so for example, the when we restripe some basketball courts and put pickleball stripes on them, that was Public Works that did that. When we had the discussion on how to do it right, I pulled in the Public Works Director and the maintenance folks. So now I absolutely agree that this commission and likely the Deputy City Manager will have significant input to any recreational aspect of what we might do in our parks. So for example, and please don't think that I'm about to do this, we're about to do this, but for example, if we were thinking of putting pickleball courts in Del Mar and taking up grassy, or let's do use this as a good example. If we were thinking about where do we put pickleball courts, we would come to this group like we did with what are the options? Where should we do this? Should we do this in Morro Bay Elementary, or should we take away all the tennis courts and all the basketball courts and the hockey rink and make it all pickleball? That would come to recreation, because that affects recreation. So I don't feel the need to have parks in either of the titles, frankly, but certainly not in their title, because they provide recreation services sometimes in a room in the community center, sometimes on a green space that we call a park, and sometimes on a space that's not even a park or a facility like the beach when we do the rock to pier.
Okay, I follow you. So, yeah, what they do and what we do are two different things. They're with the action, and we're not only recommending what to City Council their programs, but also when we need new dolphin at the park or we need a bathroom or see, it's they're just pulling that to side.
And I'm just concerned that parks are losing an advocate, that there isn't somebody raising their hand and saying we need to take care of our parks. You know, Public Works will say yes, this needs to be done, but I'm concerned that the community is losing an advocate for parks.
Well, perhaps, if I may, perhaps we get a report from Public Works as to the physical state of the parks, if there are things we need to look at. I don't know. There's got to be a way to work this, you know? I'm sure the assistant city manager
When we get to the next report, you've just and I honestly have come here wanting to hear this discussion and to get your input on these decisions. So this is really good. And although I left I'm going to ask for some guidance in the next report, I, based on what I just heard, my sense is that you need to remain the Recreation and Parks Commission or board or something, but have parks in there for that advocacy purpose.
Correct.
I hear that.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I feel. Yes.
One of the concerns that I have is that the users of the park, the pickleball group or the youth basketball program and so forth, they will look to us as being the people they need to see when things need to be facilitated. And to take the name out, I think it confuses the general public, and it confuses the roles that we're playing as a recreation park commission. I'm concerned that throwing it off to public works people, it's not our business, you need to go see Public Works. I don't think that's the way we ought to relate to the community. We're the recreation organization, division or services, whatever. And I believe that the people using the park will come to us. And we need to have a voice within the Public Works, a connection with the Public Works organization to get those things done.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. But I think what's going on here is the people that are physically responsible for the programs should be park services, and we remain the Recreation and Parks Commission of, you know, the same duties. We look at the parks, we look at the structures, we look at the maintenance, we look at the budget, we make recommendations to City Council. So that's what we do. We basically try to filter this out so the City Council has less and has more focused goals or whatever we call them. We're on the right track. We're on the right same page with you guys. With staff?
So and I heard you use services, recreation services.
Yeah, recreation services would seem like an appropriate title for the people that are actually running the recreation services.
Right.
Can't come up with a better word.
I'll sort
it
out if we're going to call it Rec Services Division or Rec Services, but I
sure.
appreciate that. I
have one other. It's kind of a little off of that a little bit, but just since you've taken a lot of our maintenance and put it into the Public Works, I'm just kind of concerned about, you know, I've been on other park and rec departments, and every so many years you have to let the soil, let the ground go, or, you know, rehab it more or less to keep playing baseball on or something like that. Is a public service department going to be up on all that? Because, you know, when we go to big meetings, that's some of the topics they bring up, surfaces to use and how to control those surfaces. So are we going to be sharing that with Public Works? Are they going to go to those meetings? Or how is that going to transition into maintaining, not just keeping it clean, but also keeping the ground playable?
I think those things are going to be shared between the Public Works Advisory Board and the Rec and Parks Commission. But both have input. And so if we, for example, if we had the opportunity to put artificial turf down in Lila Kaiser as a water-saving measure and as a maintenance measure, I would seek out both this commission's council and the Public Works Advisory Board's council, because both are important. So, in from one perspective, I guess so using this example, if we're going to put in a new super playground, this commission would have lots of great input on the design of the what things are suitable for what ages, where it goes in the field, whether it's got whales that you play on or roosters or whatever. And then the Public Works Advisory Board would probably be concerned about drainage, about how thick the bars are, so for gymnastics, so the kids, so they don't break and that sort of thing. So for, I think when it comes to the parks, there will be a shared interest, and we do this regularly in the city. We run things through multiple boards to get input. For example, in a lot of things, something will go to Harbor and go to Public Works, or go to Harbor and go to Planning Commission, because Harbor's probably a good example, because that's its own little area of the city, the harbor, sort right. of like a park is its own area of the city. So if we're doing something that has planning impacts but in the harbor zone, it'll go to Planning Commission and Harbor. And same with things that affect the parks, many of those will go to you and to the Public Works Advisory Board.
Okay. I think some of what I'm hearing is the commission is a little worried about the maintenance and such. Who's going to be looking after it? So I know the Public Works goes to each park practically every day to check on the restrooms and clean them and stuff. So do they have some sort of a form to check off if they see things wrong? How are we going to keep up with it to make sure, without a director, that somebody's actually checking every park every day to make sure it's safe and maintained properly, or if there's issues that need to be brought up? That could be the
actually, no pun intended, but cleaner with the organization like it is, because since maintenance is in Public Works,
right.
it's the maintenance staff that goes there every day to check on those facilities, and it's the Public Works director that I call up when there's a problem.
Okay. And so if there's any problem whatsoever, they hit the Public Works director, he tells you, hey, I need to do this or that, and then
right.
we proceed with whatever's problem.
Yeah.
So there's not going to be lack of maintenance or lack of cleanliness or anything with the new. Well, the field
yeah.
itself.
You have to give them rest every so often, and so I was concerned about who's going to take charge and regulate all that and keep track of, is this field overplayed? Do we got to give it a rest? Let them play over here, get this and rest, that type of thing.
Well,
I hear you, and I'll say that I had the Public Works Director in my office this morning talking about grass
okay.
and how much water we need to keep on the grass so it doesn't die completely, so we can bring it back when we have water again. And so he is very attuned to those things.
The Public Works Director makes an inspection of all the facilities on a regular basis? That I assume?
Yes.
Okay. See?
And also say that likely this guy is going to be coming to this meeting regularly, and
oh,
it's
yeah.
one and a half offices down from me.
Okay. I have a feeling he's going to be here too. So
I got what I was looking for out of that action item.
Okay.
On several of these, I just wanted to hear your discussion to make sure that that your discussion helped inform decisions I need to make.
Good. Thank you. So does that cover the purpose and operations? We've got Public Works checking on stuff, and we're making our recommendations as things are brought to us to make them.
I think one thing on the – so we're sort of going to D, what is it, 5 now, which is purpose and operations of
okay. –
and that's of this commission. And I appreciate your discussion I hear that, and I agree that keeping parks in this body's name is important. I am interested in just and sort of how you, with a couple new members, or was going to be a couple new members, see your role, see the frequency that you meet. So, you know, some of our boards meet monthly. You meet every other month. Some are called advisory boards. In fact, the only other commission is the Planning Commission. I'm interested in how you really wanted to tee up an opportunity now with you reforming for 2 years here, how you see yourselves operating and what level of advice and input and sort of participation that you would see for yourself in the recreation and parks life of the city. So, for example, the Water Reclamation Facility Citizens Advisory Committee, they're quite active in doing research and formulating ideas and bringing those to the staff, providing some, you know, a lot of assistance between meetings. The Citizens Finance Committee will be doing the same thing, really helping us craft the budget and how we present things. So I guess the main question. Do you see yourself remaining the? Now this isn't my decision or yours. It's council's, of course. But is commission the right word, or is advisory board the right word? And then second, the frequency of your meetings. Do you all sense that every other month is right, or probably not 12 times a year, but 8 to 10 times a year, with some summer and Christmas breaks? Would you feel like you get more done and have more input into the process?
I don't care personally what you call us. I think I would provide more energy and enthusiasm if we met more often. I think we have enough things to discuss and enough comment coming from the public that if we met more often, we would be more effective.
Yeah. I agree that meeting more often, I would think, would be appropriate also. And also, I think we live in a community where the concept of recreation is extremely important. And I think that the reason I applied for this position is because of how I feel about the importance. And so I think what we do here and how often we do it and the interconnection with staff more often probably would be worthwhile to the citizens of this community.
Yeah.
Well, question based on what's my
background. It says here that the Harbor Advisory Board meets 10 times a year. The Public Advisory Board meets 6 times a year. How does that work for them, 6 times a year?
I mean, I'm not sure I understand how that works.
Well, I'm saying they're already at 6 times a year. Does that seem to be effectively working for them versus bi-monthly?
Well, they're meeting
bi-monthly. Times a year.
They meet 6 times a year, right? The Public Works Advisory
Just
Board.
Like we do.
That works okay for Public Works. Frankly, sometimes there's months where we wish they met a little more frequently. Sometimes there's months we wish they didn't meet as frequently. But also, I would say that while all of us are concerned about the condition of the streets, generally, citizen input into the condition of the streets is just make the streets better, okay, quick. Whereas citizen input into recreation and parks might be more, there might be more nuanced and more complex, like the issues of of pickleball against tennis, against basketball, in which park, at what times, and so I agree with Mr. Cox. What I heard is that the importance of recreation in this community, there's a lot of we'd appreciate your input perhaps a little more frequently.
Okay. Is there a minimum number of meetings we have to be a commission? There's no minimum? Is there a way to flex it then? Can we say we're going to schedule six, and then as workload requires, we could have more? And also I'd like to bring up the fact that once a year we used to do a parks tour. I'd like to continue to do the parks tour, and I'd like to bring the volunteers like Morro Bay Green and all the people, that volunteer their time to help make these parks what they are, to come with us on the trolley. We do it once a year, and we just ride around and just, see how it's going and get to know those people, which is good for all of us, So when they have suggestions, we know that they can do what they're saying they want to do or whatever.
Sure.
You know how it is,
So I don't believe there's a set minimum. The council handbook that you approved on consent tonight directs what is probably the minimum number of times. It says that this commission will meet six times a year. It says other commissions will meet more frequently. I'm bringing this to you, and I said that it's not my decision nor yours, because that is a council direction. But as we, there's no question in my mind that should this body say, we'd prefer to meet a little bit more frequently, maybe eight to ten times a year is the right number, then the council will be fully supportive of that.
Okay,
I feel, especially, we're kind of, I don't want to say turmoil, but some changes going on in our, I think we should meet more often just to stay in tune and afloat of what's really going on. And like Tay was very informative of who's doing what. And until then, people ask me, I said, I'm not sure, because we don't have a meeting for another 6 weeks or whatever it was. So I think we should have more often until we really maybe smooth it out, then maybe we can go back to six. But I would like to have a few more right at the moment to stay on top of things.
Okay.
I would at all be opposed to increasing about, say, to 6 to 8 years.
Eight plus one trolley day?
Plus one trolley day, because I think it's very, very important that we are all kept abreast, and especially hearing information from staff, which we don't always see in correspondence.
Okay. So,
yes. Under the bylaws that we agreed to, do we have the ability to call emergency meetings? Or
well, that's what I was saying. Could there be a way to work it in, schedule six and then flex in a couple?
That's what I'm asking.
Schedule six and flex in a couple when there's more workload.
Okay, I'm good with that then.
Could we propose that then? Does that make a decent proposal? And then have room to flex in two more plus our park tour?
I'd rather
schedule eight.
Make it a schedule so I know what's happening.
Right.
My schedule too changes a lot, and if I know exactly where I'm at, then I can make my schedule so I can make the meetings.
Okay.
So I'd rather schedule them.
Eight.
You may want to consider doing what Harbor does, and that's having 10 meetings a year, and then if we scratch one.
Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Right. So I think it's none in. You don't have one in December. You don't have one in July. We can see how that goes, and as we work through the handbook, I don't think any of us are going to get fired if we say, we really don't need a meeting in June, and we cancel that one, or in March,
okay,
or something like that. So, but having a more frequent schedule as the standard, and then flexing down from there might be the way to go.
I agree.
That sounds good to me. All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor, not opposed. But it's not a democracy when I'm here.
10 meetings? Is that what? Yeah.
Night. Well,
it's probably one of them.
It's our perk for being here, is to go with the community people. Okay. Okay. So, does that cover D5 well enough?
Yep, that's great.
Okay. D6, D6, fee subsidies, cost recovery. Now, from what I've seen, we mostly make all our cost recoveries. And we do have in place, a way for low-income kids to participate. I saw the public, and that's very important to me, too, that if a kid comes here and, you know, it's not his fault, he doesn't get any money, and he wants to play, there should be a way to let some kids, you know, everybody participate. No kid left behind.
So the discussion of these last two items is linked, but we don't have to decide on either of them tonight. The first one, which is the fee subsidy discussion, really I just wanted to cover for a few minutes so you could ask a few questions, really get you thinking about it, and then at your next meeting in July, we're supposed to meet in May, June, July, next meeting in July, to have a fuller discussion of this and get some recommendations from you. And then the last item, which is the master fee schedule, just to get some input from you on that as we're working through that. So the fee subsidy discussion is the council started this discussion in April, and there's some areas of city services where there's not a whole lot of debate, frankly, that the city needs to get full cost recovery. So, for example, if you're going to build your own house, not many of us think that we need to subsidize you in the building of your house. You need to pay the full price for a planning permit and a building permit and all those things. However, there's several areas of city services where there is certainly, as we heard during public comment, very important community benefit. But still, so in recreation would be a great example of that. But still, there are all sorts of recreation programs, and so the basic question is, what is the appropriate level of subsidy for the various services provided by the recreation department, provided by or managed by? So let me just step back one step just to make sure this concept of cost recovery and subsidy is set. And I appreciated the public comment, and there was a little bit of a sense that we shouldn't really talk about subsidy when we're talking about recreation or something, but we need to talk about this somehow. So if it costs the city $100 to provide a specific service, a recreation service, then if the city is only charging $70 for that service, then the city is subsidizing that service $30, right? So if it, you know, and let's, we don't even have to use a recreation example, but if it costs $100 to have an inspector come inspect something at your home or at your business, for example, and if we're only charging $70 for that, then that means effectively we're subsidizing the other $30 because it's costing us. I'm paying an employee $100 to come do that. Where does that subsidy come from? That comes from the general fund. And where could that subsidy go? What could it be used for if it wasn't being used for that $30 subsidy? It could be used to pave streets. It could be used to have a bigger subsidy in another program. So, for example, if we were subsidizing planning and building fees significantly, we wouldn't be able to. We would be providing less services somewhere else. So this idea is it costs the city something to provide a service. Full cost recovery means we're getting all of that money back from whoever is using that service, which is generally a pretty good way to operate, because generally most people want to pay for what they use and not pay for what they don't use. However, in recreation, especially when it comes to recreation programs, especially, there's some level of subsidy is appropriate, because there's a community good. But it's important that you wrestle with this, because while subsidizing Kids Club might be a very appropriate thing, first question is, at what level? Subsidize it 10%, 50%, or 70%? But so if subsidizing Kids Club is a good thing, what about adult basketball? Is that the same community benefit for 20 guys who want to go play basketball on Wednesday evening, in which we have to rent the school gym and do various other things to provide that? Is that the same community benefit as Kids Club or as the teen center? And so we're going to want your input on which of the programs should be subsidized and to what level, and which shouldn't be subsidized and to what level. Is that so? I hope that's really this issue to wrestle with. I will say that we have one of the things that we need to do in the year and a half or two ahead. We'll see when we get to it, is to do a better estimate of what it really costs to provide different services, and to start our cost recovery model with the best possible estimate of what it costs to provide a service when you calculate all the different things that the city has to pay for to provide that service. From the very obvious things like paying the referee at the soccer game to the less obvious things like maintaining the field and paying for the insurance and all of those things. And this is not a drill in wanting to increase revenues on the backs of a recreation service. It's simply knowing what it costs us to provide services, so that we can set the subsidy level correctly based on what the benefit is to the community for those. The public comment today was both from the Moore Bay Community Foundation folks. Great service in our community. So if you, and that's really, you could almost think of that as a second subsidy, or I'd call it a scholarship already. But so if that service that I talked about costs $100, costs the city $100 to provide, but we only charge $70, that means the general fund is subsidizing it for $30. But then the Moore Bay Community Foundation may come in and further and provide a scholarship for lower income kids or participants that brings their cost down to $50. So it's important. In fact, one of the things I'd like to do is figure out how the city can partner better with the Community Foundation to increase the funds that they bring in, and that may be a great thing for this commission to consider, is how can you better partner with the Community Foundation so that savings account of scholarship money is bigger, because the bigger that is, the more kids can, or the larger at least the scholarship would be for qualifying kids. So a couple of the questions that we'll be asking to wrestle with are, what's the appropriate fee subsidy level for the various youth programs, for senior programs, for adult programs? Mr. Swain, you asked the question earlier, and I said we'd get to it in one of the later items. So the city's memorandum of understanding right now with the Senior Center, with Seniors Incorporated, essentially says that the Seniors Incorporated get free use of any city facility really any time for any length of time. It doesn't spell out in that detail, but the way it's written and the way it's applied, that if the Seniors Incorporated, they don't pay to use this room, they don't pay to use, it's not just the senior center, those rooms up in the community services building, it's any facility, parks, this room, anything, the way the MOU is currently written is that they're not charged for any of that. Since Pickleball has associated themselves with Seniors Incorporated, Pickleball is benefiting from that agreement. So it puts us right now in a position that ain't great in my mind, and that is that, and believe me, I'm asked Pickleball to come tonight, and I support what they're doing, and I would love to see us be a regional, national pickleball destination. I think that's great. But also, because of this relationship with Seniors Incorporated, Pickleball can reserve the courts at Del Mar Park for free. They essentially rent them for free, but for us all to go play basketball there. If we showed up and they had it rented for free, we wouldn't be able to play basketball. But if we wanted to rent it to play basketball, we'd have to, we're going to talk about that next, but we'd have to pay $50 for a half a day to rent that. So that MOU is probably something else that that we need to take a look at and get your advice and counsel on, because that situation is a little discordant, I think. So fee subsidy level for seniors, for youth, for adult programs, really the city puts a fair amount of money in staff time into senior programming, and there's no recovery from that. The things I'm saying shouldn't be interpreted as anything other than providing really upfront information so we as a community can wrestle with it and figure out what's right. So I'm not at all saying that that is wrong. It's just I want us to make an informed decision on what the right level of financial support to all of these various groups are, because the tendency is otherwise you really don't know where the money's going and you're not prioritizing things. And we need to do a better job in the city prioritizing figuring out what our priorities are and putting our money after those priorities.
It also goes two ways. The city and the school district have negotiated a favorable agreement, but yet when the school wants to rent a city facility, we pay the same as everybody else. So it needs to be looked at from the other side as well.
There are great examples both directions, right? I mean, so Kids Club operates in a city building or in a school building on school property that we don't pay for, which is a great benefit. But alternatively, the school charges us to use the gym. I'm just laying out the issues so we can wrestle with them, because I could probably make a really logical argument why that makes a lot of sense for the before and after school programs to have a facility provided by the school. But when 10 of us want to go play basketball in the gym on Monday nights, we need to pay for it. Those are two different levels of common good or community benefit that are important to consider.
And you also have, I believe the Lions Club can use this building for free because of they built the barbecue outside. So there's other things you need to look at as well, because there are some old agreements in the facilities out there.
Right.
I have a couple of questions. I know you said at our later meeting in July we would get further into this, but I'm curious if staff or someone is doing coming up with when you come up with these fees for different programs, is there research done on other comparable cities and what fees they're charging? Is that being done? Has it been done? Because to ask us to all of a sudden decide whether it should be $50 or $70, I'm feeling like I'm operating in a vacuum without efficient information. So on that level, I'm assuming I'm getting some nods from individuals.
There's really two facets to that question. So yes, they assess what it costs to provide the service, look around and compare that to other communities, to make sure that it's about appropriate. But we will likely not come to you asking what should the fee be for all of these various things, that's what we're trying to get away from. So what has happened historically is once a year we take the master fee schedule to the council, all 40 pages of it, and say, hey, here you go, approve all these fees, with very little data behind it sometimes, as opposed to making a policy decision on how much do we want to subsidize various activities. We want to subsidize youth and senior programs 30%. Then what your staff can do is go figure out how much it costs to provide program X, and if program X costs $100 and it's a youth program, we know we're going to charge $70 because we've said that the normal subsidy for a youth or senior program is $70. We're going to subsidize adult programs zero. We're going to subsidize the teen center 90%. So I hope that we don't bring to you regularly, let's go through this list of 40 different programs and set the dollar amount. Instead, we'd like the policymakers to set a policy. And then that's why we need to do this good work, like you said, Jeff, on what does it actually cost to provide the service, and then subtract the whatever the appropriate subsidy is out from that to be able to set our fees.
Okay, my second question is about partnerships. And if there's ideas from the commission on different agencies or organizations, do we go to staff? Who does the legwork in making the connection with those organizations? I'm thinking about the state golf course, Morro Bay Golf Course. They're starting a program there on golf, teaching all ages how to play golf. If we thought we might want to interface with our rec activities with young kids with the state park, who does that kind of that initial contact?
So great points and ideas. A couple things on that. First is that your staff does not have unlimited time. let me say first that I love the idea of what you just said. I know many of us do. And that is that that partnerships with other organizations to provide services are a good thing. So when Sam talked a few minutes ago and talked to where he just came from in Ferndale, most recreation services were actually provided through partnerships, not by a recreation department. I don't want anybody to take that or what we're talking about as we're going to abolish our recreation department. No, we're not. But can we provide even more opportunities, a broader range of opportunities, if we also engaged in various partnerships like you're speaking about? I think the answer is a resounding yes. So I got in the mail the other day the Atascadero Recreation Services catalog. Going through it, it was almost impossible to distinguish what opportunities were provided directly by the recreation department, which were provided by some sort of partnership with another organization, whether it is the Y or something with the golf course, and frankly, which ones are provided by a business that's in business. I mean, so in you've seen them. You've seen Recreation Opportunity magazines that have yoga right in there at a private yoga studio, and it's that opportunity, which might be an advertisement, is indistinguishable from signing up for youth soccer, which is provided by the city, which Karen works, or a partnership with the golf course. Or with a more of a yacht club or whatever. So that's the direction we're headed, is to make that more seamless instead of sort of have one place you can come and find out of all that. Addressing your proximate question of who does that work. So these two in Celeste are the entire Recreation Services Division in Morro Bay. And it will likely be Sam after I wake up in the morning and think about what you all recommended and what other ideas I have. He will probably wake up with a task tomorrow morning, but he's got a number of other tasks too. So he is not going to be the recreation director. He's the deputy city manager with responsibility for several things. So what am I getting at? It goes a little bit to my question in the previous agenda item of, how active do you want to be? Because the more connections are made by other people, and the fuller the solution is that's brought to these folks, the more likely it is to get implemented. So being very clear about what you said, if somebody just sent us an email and said, "Hey, what about a partnership with the golf course?" That's a lot harder to run with than, "I've been to the golf course, I've talked to the folks, here's three," you know, sort of like the LEAP proposal. You know, here's a lot of the Thomases have done all of that work in the pickleball LEAP proposal, not as staff members, not as commission members, but as volunteers. So to come full circle, bring it to likely to Sam tomorrow morning, and or to Karen and Heather, and the more fully developed these ideas are, the easier and the quicker it'll be for us to implement them. Does that help?
Yeah. Okay, I want to bring up a couple things. Getting back to, I'm the liaison for the Community Foundation, and so I have to go there every month to their meetings. But you did clear up a couple things, because I know I didn't know the parks or the city subsidized some of the funds. I thought that the like when we gave a scholarship to a youth, we paid it 100%, but actually we're paying a subsidy of the amount. We're still paying it at, maybe we're giving 100%, but it's 100% of the subsidy amount.
Correct.
So you're still subsidy. Okay, and point number two is, remember a few months ago we went to that conference, and their whole thing was, there are two ladies that talked about, people will donate to X club more than he will to City of Morro Bay. Mm-hmm. And so their whole thing was friends of, and that's kind of what you're pointing to. We should have friends of the golf thing, friends of, like we're trying to do another one, friends of the Community Foundation, get another little fund going for another organization. But you're on track right there. I think we should all have friends of different, friends of the soccer team or friends of the soccer association or something. And people donate to that, and that'll help offset some of the costs. So I think we can all jump in and do something toward that.
Great, thank you.
If I may just say something. So,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. Our budget comes from several sources, and we get money, a lot of, they apply for grants and things. I think, wouldn't it be logical to start with first what our budget would be, so we could, if we're going to try to determine what we can do, we need to know what resources we have to utilize. I mean, if we're losing money, and the city's going to, you know, I think part of what we're supposed to do is watch the purse strings of the resources. May help manage resources. That's a good way of putting it. So I think what we need to do begin is find out what we've got to work with, and then try to prioritize what we think is best for the community, and also get the community to participate to tell us what they want. Because we should just be a sounding board for the community. We want to make these decisions informatively based on what the community wants. So we need everybody out there to participate, as part of what I'm saying. And then we just need to identify what our resources are, and then, you know, that's what we have to work with. We can't you know, can't buy a baseball if we don't have any money for one, you know? So, I mean, guys, that kind of makes sense. Start with trying to identify what our budget is and work from there, where our revenue streams come from. You know, because that'll dictate what we want the staff, where we would recommend that they put their time. If we say, okay, there's all these grants out there, go chase grants, or, you know, community partnerships, or, you know, hard money from Parks and Lou Fund.
I think knowing our general financial situation,
right. I don't think we do.
Is excellent, but also having that in our pocket, knowing generally what money we do have, I think is important. It also gives us some ideas of where we might go, creating these friends, if you will, to get additional funding in certain activities. So I think they can work together.
Yeah. And I think also that we need to come up with a plan that implements these things, perhaps in steps and not all at one time, where there's a huge amount of change. If there's any way to implement these things kind of on a rolling deal, you know, because people are changing. People don't really like change a whole lot. They have to understand why it's changing, you know. That's one thing, too.
I don't know
how much the public knows. I mean, the city budget's a public document, right? They can see what comes in, what goes out. Okay.
Yeah, and I just want to make a quick clarification about the support from the Morro Bay Community Foundation. Okay, so the cost of, let's say, an event is $100. The scholarship will be, depending on the type of program it is, will be either 30% or 60% of that $100. It's not going towards the subsidy of the city subsidy. It's going towards the program fee. So if the program fee is $100 and we are subsidizing it at 30%, the foundation scholarship, like say for a youth sports program, is 60% of the program fee. It's not touching the subsidy. So if a program costs $100, the community foundation's 60% scholarship for a youth sports program would be that the foundation would pay $60 towards the program. The child's family was responsible for 40.
For the 10.
For the $40, the 40%.
Oh, so I thought you said you were subsidizing at 30, which make it 70, and if we're paying 60, the full
right,
debt.
Right,
we pay 60, you subsidize 30, they owe us 10.
Right. Well, but no, they're paying the program fee is set at that 70% cost recovery. So the amount of money that's coming in is not touching into the subsidy. It's touching what our 70% expected cost recovery is.
So what? Where was your concern?
Yeah. You're saying the same thing that
right.
In the foundation scholarship is calculated based on whatever the fee is for that activity, not based on what the cost to the city is for that activity.
Okay.
So I'm missing then what was the community foundation's concern? Why were they here voicing a concern?
They were concerned, you know, it came out you wanted a 25% increase in the fees. So if, say if student X was paying $20, his share of the fee, it went up 25%, he would now pay his 20 plus the 25, so he'd now be paying 45 instead of the 25, and so a lot of these lower income families, they have trouble doing the 20, they got to do 45, that child is no longer going to be in there, and then the problem is the community foundation is kind of, they're pretty much pushing the limit of what they raise now, and so they would have to either cut down on some of the children they do or less to everybody, mm-hmm. and so it would just be a hardship on a lot more people. So that was their big, they're talking about there.
So one of the things that's been discussed in the last couple of months is this issue of 25%. As I said, these two plus one are the only full-timers in recreation in all of Morro Bay. Everybody else that helps provide services are part-timers. All of their, or volunteers, that's right. All of those part-time salaries are based off minimum wage. They're not all at minimum wage, but they're all sort of keyed to minimum wage or minimum wage plus a certain percentage. On the 1st of January, so in 7 months, minimum wage will go up another dollar, and that will be a 25% increase in minimum wage over 18 months. So it went up a dollar in last July of 14. So 1 year ago it went up a dollar. In another 6 months it's going up another dollar. That is a significant increase considering most of our cost to provide recreation services is labor to pay those part-time folks that provide those great services. So we're struggling to figure out how to continue to provide services with a limited city budget, right? So if labor goes up 25%, what normally happens if you go to the grocery store or the you know, Best Buy or whatever, when that cost gets passed on to whoever the consumer is. So the struggle that we have right now, there's these three factors. There's what the cost of the service is. What it cost us to deliver that service has increased dramatically. In my family's budget, 25% over 18 months is dramatic. So the cost of providing the service has increased dramatically. And if we pass 25% on to every single fee, that would be dramatic for a whole bunch of families. But if we didn't pass anything on, then that would be pretty dramatic for the city's general fund budget, because that means that our subsidy might have gone from a 25% subsidy to a 45% subsidy because we didn't increase fees when costs increased substantially. So that's the challenge that we're working through right now. Since you asked a minute ago, if you're a glutton for punishment, you can go watch the city's 5-hour budget study session on 20 May on YouTube. If you're just a minor glutton for punishment, you can, and actually this, I shouldn't really say that because this would be useful. So at the council meeting next Tuesday night, the primary agenda item is to adopt this year's budget, and I'll be reviewing our budget hopefully in less than 5 hours. But the key takeaway that I'd give you is that right now revenues in the city meet about 75% of what our requirements are. So we simply don't have enough revenue in the city. And please don't take away that I think that we're going to close that gap by raising recreation fees. This is a separate discussion completely, but I just want you to know. So right now, but this is why we do need to have a very clear discussion of what our priorities are. What are our priorities for? Do we want to subsidize adult basketball? Do we want to subsidize youth basketball? Probably one, maybe not so much the other. But for example, right now, if all of our streets were at an acceptable level, pavement condition index 70. If all of our streets were there, they're not. But if they were, it would cost us $1.5 million a year to keep them there, just to do the normal maintenance. Right now, we have a budget of about $500,000 a year for streets. What that means is we are only meeting one-third of what we require for our streets just to keep them in the cruddy condition that they're currently in. So what that means is our streets are getting worse and worse every year, not better and better. And so we're sort of having this clear-eyed discussion across every part of the city, from public works to recreation to harbor to the city council, on where we are and then doing the appropriate prioritizing. And that's what we're going to be asking you to do in recreation, is to prioritize the various services that we provide, and one of the things we're going to ask you to do is help us prioritize what the right subsidy level is for those services. So we are subsidizing the things that should be, and we're not subsidizing the things that shouldn't be or that we can't afford to subsidize. And so this is going on across the city so that we're making these decisions sort of clear-eyed. We have the facts out there, and then we can make good priority-based decisions. For example, the good news is we fund our fire department and our police department at 93% of their requirement and 95% respectively. So we've already prioritized and said, hey, our fire and our police are more important than our streets. At least we've got that correct. We sort of want to do that across the whole city and make sure that we're prioritizing all of our services the way that we all want to based on the importance that we all have for them or that we all place on them.
I wanted to take a moment to remind the commission that the department already has a tool that was established many, many years ago on cost recovery. So it wouldn't be like creating the wheel, actually. It would be great if they had the document right now where it outlines certain programs, their cost recovery set at certain percentages. So we look at a program that is like, let's talk about Open Gym that's for adults. That is established to be 100% cost recovery. But then you look at other programs that there's commission has established, city council agrees, that are a larger community benefit, such as the teen center, where its cost recovery is set at about 5 to 10%. So you already have that tool to work with. And over the years, the commission has taken the opportunity to readjust those programs, maybe move the programs around within their category. So I thought that was really important for you to know that, you know, you wouldn't just be picking numbers out of a bag, so to speak.
Thank you.
I just want to say men's adult football or basketball, 200% recovery.
Where are we now?
I think we're about at the end.
We're about to the end. No, it's so early.
So we have one more item here, but which is the master fee schedule for this coming year. We're working on it sort of in draft form. We want to simplify it a little bit. Probably the most important point for you and for anybody that's listening is that the master fee schedule for recreation doesn't cover any program fees. It only covers rental fees of the various parks and facilities. So other cities have their program fees and their master fee schedule. We may or may not do that someday. We're not going to get there this year. but we don't have to do everything this month. We want to leave something for you to do in the years ahead. One thing we are looking at is simplifying this a little bit. Right now there's sort of three categories of rental fees. We've called them permit fees, and that's confused at least me, and maybe others. So we say that there's a I'll just say that we're working through this, and we'll bring this back to you in July as well for your input. But we want to make sure that we've got I guess to one of the points that was made in public comment, which was good. The parks are free use all day, every day, all daylight, and so that public benefit is there because they, as somebody said, they belong to the residents. The only time you have to start paying for a park is if you want it all by yourself and you want to have right. your own special event there, and you want to, you don't want to go to the school gym on Monday night. You want to play basketball and you want to have your own basketball tournament, whatever. So we're working on those on the park fees to we're relooking them to hopefully simplify it a little bit, and also the fees for this room and other rooms to have essentially an appropriate benefit for Morro Bay residents and for nonprofits. So we'll subsidize likely Morro Bay residents' use of particular facilities, but not non-residents. And it's already laid out that way a little bit, but we're, I'll just say that we're working on that. We'll bring that to you also. Back to you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
When is our next meeting scheduled for?
July.
Usually July is the Pucks tour.
Normal time in July. We probably need you to meet in July for a regular meeting because we're going to need some input on the fee subsidy things, and then perhaps we'll set up the parks tour for if we go to a regular meeting or a monthly meeting for the August meeting.
Okay.
So no meeting in June.
This is June.
Sam. Sam, where will you be located? We need to get a hold of you. Do you have an office yet? Or
I do. In City Hall. Like he said, I'm about an office and a half away from him. So, yeah, please visit me anytime. Come say hi. I'd like to meet with all of you, regardless of what happens tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. So we're done here? I call this meeting adjourned? Is that where we're at? All right. This meeting's adjourned. Thank you all for your time.
You're very welcome.
Do we? Okay. We're not really allowed to talk except.